So you're listening to a podcast called What an Absolute Fit Show. So I'm going to assume that you've got some interest in fitness. Now, if you're looking at a new sport or a new challenge, a new goal, coaching can always come in handy. In fact, it's the one thing that I say that I regret doing when I first started my fitness journey is not getting a coach. And again, when I started doing CrossFit, was not getting a coach straight away. Because it helps so much. But finding the right coach can be difficult. And that's why I created the PT company. Because you want to make sure that you're choosing the right coach. Not just the coach that shouts the loudest on social media. Or that your friends have got or that your family have used. It's finding the right coach for you. So if you're in need of a coach and you feel that a coach could help you, then get in contact and we will find you the right coach for you. Welcome to episode, of What an Absolute Fit Show. Today I talked to Jez all about coffee. He's the co-owner of Crave Coffee and an awesome bloke. We talk all things, unsurprisingly, coffee, how he got involved in it, and what it's like to run a small business. Hope you enjoy. I'll see you on the other side. So
this is our coffee roaster. This is a 15 kg roaster, which is what it's roasted at. So that's the overall volume, the maximum volume that it can run at. We run at about 12 and a half. So we put 12 and a half kilos into the hopper.
Yeah.
And we get 10 kilos out per roast. That's the maximum we put through. We do smaller roasts as well. So that so for example, we do decaf. So when we roast that, because the volumes are lower,
yeah,
we tend to put sort of 6 kilos in to get 5.5 kilos out.
So do you find that you get less people wanting decaf than I'm assuming?
It's grown.
Has it?
Yeah. So when we first started up, we did a decaf and knocked it off because we were getting
just nothing.
No interest in it whatsoever. And then about 5 years ago, we're getting a few more inquiries about it, a few more coffee shops, a few more coffee shops, that kind of thing. So we brought it back on. We had quite a fairly standard decaf. And then 18 months ago, we found a really good Colombian decaf that's got a really good, clean decaffeinating process.
Okay.
It's a chemical process, but it's a natural chemical process. So they use sugar cane without knowing going into too much detail of the process, but basically they blast the beans through with this sugar cane and it swells the bean and then they wash it through and that's what takes the caffeine away.
Oh, really?
It's all natural.
Okay.
And because it's such a natural process, it actually really leaves a really good flavour coffee behind.
Right, okay.
Where some of the chemical ones, it can be a bit bland.
I find that. It was almost like when you have decaf coffee, this is why I normally... Because I don't like drinking coffee after a certain time. Obviously, I don't want to lose sleep. If I have too much coffee sometimes, I can get a little bit anxious. So I've got like a sweet spot of like the amount that I want to have. So, but I love the taste of coffee. So I'm like, oh, I'll just grab a decaf. So I'll go to any sort of well-known, renowned coffee shop and I order it. And there's always something missing.
Yeah.
It's like when you drink non-alcoholic beer.
Yes.
Yeah, there's like a myth.
Not
like
quite the same, is it?
Yeah. So that's the chemical part I would take in there.
And it's very... So there's two or three different processes, but this one, the sugarcane one, is relatively new in the sort of last 12, 18 months. But by far, we find it has generated a really, really good quality coffee. Quality, really nice decaf, where if you put it in front of somebody and did a blind test... They probably wouldn't
know.
Wouldn't notice. And we found now that a lot more, so ginger and pickles as an example, they're buying an awful lot more decaf off us than previously. They'd have a bag a month, yeah. They're now having a bag a week.
Right.
So customers are clearly
wanting it. There's a need for
onto it as well.
Yeah. I think because more people are having, like, you have coffee, it's a social thing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
but there is also the dark side of it, if you forgive the pun.
No.
Of the drinking coffee, caffeine later and at night.
Yeah, exactly.
And the impacts of that on sleep patterns and all that exactly. kind of stuff.
Taking it into sort of like a gym environment.
Yeah.
We just discussed before we started rolling that about pre-workouts.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, how highly caffeinated they are and how sometimes it might just be better to have a nice espresso.
Yeah.
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 It might just be good just to have a coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That always has for me, I see all these people and all these weird coloured pre-workouts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
yeah.
Just drink coffee, it tastes
yeah.
better.
Yeah. As it's calorie free.
Yeah, it is.
You're getting that shot of that you want. And a nice, really nice produced coffee, nice produced from the bean, nice roasted coffee, and a nice, yes, you'll get that. Obviously, you get that strong caffeine hit.
Yeah,
but you're also getting lots of really nice flavours come through for it. So, like for example, this one is this is a Sal Luca. This is our coffee of the month at the minute.
Okay.
And this one is these beans were roasted on Monday of last week.
Okay.
So they've just gone into the hopper, and the reason we do that is to get that freshness as well, and it deoxidises over a period of time.
Okay.
So it takes it needs to rest. It's quite a vigorous change, physical change, going from a green bean type thing to what you see.
Yeah,
it's not just a big chemical change, but it's quite a big physical change as well. So that's why we like it needs to rest. You know, if you were to be in sort of imagine what's going on, and there's a huge chemical reaction going in there as it changes shape, colour, consistency, and all those kinds of stuff. And that with that, you get a build-up of gases, and those gases need to deoxidise before you can really start getting the really nice flavours come out.
How long so that takes, you say you put this on a Monday, did you say?
Or yeah, so this is a week and 2 days old, essentially. So, and that is the norm.
Is that like the sweet spot?
Yeah, pretty much. And it'll stay fresh then once we've roasted that. It'll stay fresh in the bloom freshness. for about 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you get when you roast with it, or when you brew with it, you see all the billow in the coffee cup. So the joys of living on on a farm is we get the lads next door pops in to say hello.
Gotta love dogs.
Hello, mate. So but going back to what you were saying about the gym shop, you know, a shot of coffee is just as good as anything you're gonna get.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's really gonna
and it's natural.
Yeah, and it's natural flavours. Yeah. You know, the natural flavours, everything about it, are just what it's about.
How long do you say you normally start to get that stimulus after having a coffee? Because it's not, like I used to think that I'd drink a coffee, then all of a sudden I'd be like, right, let's go.
Yeah, let's have it straight away. But
that's blatantly a placebo effect.
Yeah.
You know, because actually, I actually start to feel really good and sort of like, even a little bit of mood change potentially.
Yeah.
It takes like up to an hour, you know, and then lasts up to six hours.
I'm not done any studies per se. I mean, I can only go off my own sort of personal. So invariably, like in the morning, get out of bed, the first thing I'll do in the morning is have a coffee, and I generally find that within sort of helping me get ready and wake up for the day, sort of thing. Half an hour, 45 minutes, I'm starting to feel like, now, again, placebo effect, may well be. I've had the shot, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. And then you feel like that for a good solid piece of time.
I
think there's almost like a mental set for your day, pattern for your day. You get up, you get dressed,
habit,
you brush your teeth, you come downstairs.
Yeah, you have a coffee. Yeah.
And that coffee then is like, right, I'm ready for the day now.
Mm.
So with, yes, it's a stimulant, but how much of it is just a psychological stimulant?
Yeah.
I guess there's an element of that.
And this is where...
more than a physical one.
Taste comes into it, right?
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. Like, you want to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. So what's your... So the story. Like, why have you decided to dedicate your sort of like working life to coffee?
Well, I mean, it was a lifestyle decision that myself and with my my wife we made last year. So myself and AD is my business partner.
Yeah.
We decided quite a few years ago that we wanted to look at. Actually, we were sat in Portugal. We were sat in a little coffee shop in Portugal, drinking a nice coffee, and we said, "Wouldn't it be great to do this kind of thing ourselves?" Yeah.
So you both like coffee connoisseurs.
Yeah, yeah. We've always enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, I think to say we're connoisseurs was probably going, you know, fine. We were just a couple of guys that really enjoyed coffee. Yeah. So we came back and never thought much of it. And then about 3 months later, we were at Rach and Wendy, my wife, and Ada's wife's Christmas do, and we sort of got back onto the subject again and said, you know, shall we do it? Something, you know, joking apart.
Yeah.
So then we really kicked in. The following year, we properly started looking into it. We studied it. We looked at the initial idea we thought was buying maybe a business that was already
right,
up and running. But we didn't go that road. We went down the road of having a very small roaster that was basically set up in Ada's garage. Literally, it was in a garage. We were doing really small amounts. It was very much hobby stuff. Mm. We were doing it for friends, family, that kind of stuff. A little bit. And it was really, essentially, it was a bit of market testing. And we got, do we know what we're doing? Can we produce a product that people actually will enjoy and want to taste?
Yeah.
And that was about, that carried on for sort of 18 months, 2 years. And then eventually we got a contract with our first sort of coffee shop.
Okay.
And that was a big shout out to Ginger and Pickles because they were the ones that sort of gave us, put faith in our product a little bit. And the guy came over, Harry came over, and he tasted it, stood in Ada's garage, watched the roasting process, tasted it and said, yeah, you know, we'll give this a go maybe over a period of time. So we just did a small batch. We did like a coffee of the month. We broke in there slowly. And then eventually he said, look, we really like it. Customers like it. We'll take you on board as our main coffee supplier.
That's awesome. So and you almost just need that. That first
massive,
and then there's like a cascade.
It was a great opportunity, and we'll always be thankful for them for giving us that faith, and that gave us a lot of faith in us, in our product. Well,
because you're always, I often find that when I speak to people like yourself and myself, like you almost need that outsource sort of somebody saying to you, what you're doing is right. This tastes good. Yeah. This is good.
Yeah. Believe in yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And that
gave you that self belief.
Massive change, and then. So we then changed, we got a bigger roaster, and it was still not massive, it was a 5 kg roaster. It was then on a unit, so we found another farm unit, and we ran with that for probably about 18 months, 2 years. And then, again, we got more confidence, we got more customers on board, we got more online customers, subscription customers, which is really good, so people basically sign up. They decide how much coffee they want, which coffee they want, how they want it ground or whether it's full beans. And then once they've done that, sign up, and then we just dispatch it straight out. And they just don't have to think about it anymore.
That's brilliant.
And locally we deliver it. Depending on where it is, but very often I'm on my bike thinking, right,
so it's hand delivered.
Yeah, exactly. I will literally hop on my bike, or I live in Williston, so a couple of my customers live in Williston, so I'll take the dog for a walk.
Yeah.
Best of both worlds. I get a bit of exercise. I get the coffee dropped off. The dogs get exercise. So it's just, and that's very much, it's being part of the community is really important to us. We like to be seen in the community. Yeah. And that just grew. And then last year we moved here and we got this one, which is probably the last roaster size-wise, capacity-wise that we'll buy.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a beast.
Because it is a beast. Yeah. It's flued out properly. We're gas certified. It gets serviced out twice a year by a special roasting company, gas roasting company that literally they service it, and they do all the checks to make sure that everything from a health and safety point of view, the machine's working properly, it's flued out properly, all that kind of stuff. So now we've got the capacity now, and we're just looking to keep on growing, essentially.
I mean, I think one of the reasons why I wanted to sort of get you on and talk to you on the podcast was everybody drink coffee. Most people, I'd say most people drink coffee, right? But they drink it and they go, this tastes really nice. They don't understand. Or they don't sort of what's going on in the background to create. And that's the same with a lot of like food produce, a lot of products.
Of course.
You eat it. The same with things like anything, meat or vegetables and things like that, you eat it, it's on your plate or it's in your cup.
Yeah, but
you don't really go back and, you know, don't look think about, how it got there and everything you've got to go for. I mean, you've just got bags of what I imagine is just raw coffee, right?
It is, so all these are green beans. So we import them directly in from certain plantations. And our preference is Brazilian beans just because we got a really good connection. There's a guy who now lives over in the UK, but his family are Brazilian. He imports his family's beans directly from their plantation.
Right.
So we buy it from him.
Okay.
And he basically, the three plantations that we use, the mainstay are, one's his auntie, another's another uncle, and the other one's his cousin. So essentially,
you just buy it off the family.
Exactly. And that means we get to know the provenance, we get to know about the harvest, we know when the next batch are coming through, and it's a really close sort of supply chain in that it's a small business helping a small business helping a small business, you know,
that's
and that's
brilliant.
That's the sort of supply chain that we want to work with.
Like, for a business like yourself, that's really important.
Yeah.
Like, focusing on that whole, talking about small businesses, helping small businesses. And that's one of the reasons why me and you, when we first met, it was to discuss, like, how we could work together, what we could do together and things like that. And it's just, like you said, just small businesses helping out small businesses.
It's real important, isn't it, with that? And, you know, as your business grows and you work with other people and you meet people, just all the time, it becomes like a community. LinkedIn supports that, doesn't it, and all the socials, but actually having conversation with people is really great.
There's something to be said, like, of almost having your sort of like in-person LinkedIn, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody's got something to say on social media, everybody's got something to show on social media. A lot of it just gets fast. It's actually talking to each other, you know, and helping each other out,
and it's listening. You know, I even though our businesses are far removed from each other in terms of like how we're going to work. We're producing something, you're offering a service.
Yeah.
But still, there are so many synergies at the same time, isn't
Big time.
That it's
Big
always, time. You've got to learn off other people, you know, and I like listening to what other people have got to say and listening to their stories.
I like
as well.
That's why I asked you. That's why I think it's important for whoever listens to this to find out where you guys came from, what you guys did before and how you guys, like, because you see businesses and you see them established and you're like, oh, brilliant, but you don't understand the amount of hard work
and
belief in yourself that you need to actually build it up. Like, you guys have had a really, like, when you first started thinking, God, we're going to be roasting and selling our own coffee. Is this going to work? Like, we're going up against, you're going up against like the big one,
against
Starbucks, going up against already established brands and other, I'm assuming, like, even at like Ginger and Pickles and things, like, they would have had other roasters, right? They would have worked with before. So you're then going up against even local,
other businesses around it. And I mean, I look at it and think there is, obviously everybody's in competition. You're all buying from the same customers. But everybody has their own different way of doing things.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, that we, even though we may buy the bean from the same place, how I roast it is maybe slightly different from how they roast it, which will then offer different flavour notes and this, that, and the other. But if we're going from like drinking something out of an instant coffee to having something that's naturally roasted like this, we're all on the same boat, because if you didn't start with an instant coffee or didn't start with a sachet coffee or something like that and didn't realize they liked it, then they would never end up buying it from us in the first place. So it's actually every part of the coffee industry has
a place
and has a place. And they'll sell it by the tons and tons per week, per day, potentially, whereas we're looking at, we're a lot more small volume stuff. But it's very, very niche, and our customers are very, very niche as well. So there's always a market for everybody. Even every competition is healthy competition, isn't it?
That's brilliant. I really like that. Like, to say that actually there's even the big guns. Without the big guns, we might not be able to.
We wouldn't be here.
We wouldn't be here.
No.
Or even like your other competition. Like, everybody's got their own style. Everybody's got their own stuff. And I was going to ask you about that afterwards. Like, I'm obviously not going to ask you to give away all your secrets and stuff about how you roast things.
Yeah.
But is there, I'm assuming that like this tastes different to other coffee that I've tasted. I don't know if it's because it's come from a different bean, or whether it's the way that you've roasted it. Is there much variation in the way that it'll be a mixture of both.
Okay. There are thousands of different types of beans. In terms of the actual plant. Then there are plantations here, there, and everywhere throughout the world. So they will dictate, the bean dictates, their process dictates, altitude dictates as well. Altitude of the plantation will dictate on flavour notes.
Is that to do with the oxidisation?
It's more to do with moisture retention and that kind of stuff. So if a bean's quite high up, then it tends to maintain on an altitude, it tends to maintain more moisture. Mm. So more moisture within the bean will lead to different flavour notes, kind of thing. Yeah. And then maybe some, in the reverse, plantations at a lower altitude will have a lot more sort of arid flavours. There's less moisture in it. It dries out in a certain way. And because of that, you'll get more arid notes. So you might get more nutty sort of notes as opposed to more maybe sweetness notes and that kind of stuff. So altitude, it takes a lot. So that's just from, I always look at coffee, getting it from a plant to a cup is three processes. It's how it's grown, how it's roasted, and how it's brewed.
Yeah.
So we can't control that bit, and we can't control that bit, but we can control the middle bit, which is how it's roasted, essentially. And then our processes, and as I'm sure any other roaster will say, are all slightly different. We have a little thing that we do that I won't, say out into the public. Well, that's our own sort of unique
secret sauce.
It's a secret thing that we do within our process, that in our recipe, for want of a better term, that we like to do. We think really helps as part of the roasting, but ultimately the development stage, which is a really important part.
Almost like when you first started, I'm assuming you're doing a bit of mad science, almost like a mad scientist.
Absolutely.
How can we get this already? Good tasting bean to taste.
How do we change it? How do we tweak it?
What can we do to add a bit of uniqueness to it?
That's exactly the case. And I guess a bit like with yourself, where if you're doing somebody's, the way you train individuals is always going to be different to the individual.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And in a similar sort of vein, the way we roast each different bag is a different type of bean, and we do not roast the same one in exactly the same way. So each one has a slightly different profile in how we roast it. So it may be the length of time it's roasted at. It may be the starting temperature. It may be how we slow the roasting process down with temperature, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And each part of that is basically what we call that is the profile of the coffee. It's what is happening to that bean over a certain amount of time, at a certain temperature, what colour is it? What does it smell like? That kind of stuff. And that's what we do is basically, when we get a new bean that we've never roasted before, we'll put a batch through and taste it, cup it, basically. Yeah. That's sort of the coffee term.
Yeah.
And you taste it, and if you like it, we'll make some coffee notes. And then we'll just tweak the roast a different way and do the same thing. And we'll do that a number of times. And each roast profile, we're recording what's happening and when. And then once we cut them all, we'll go, that one is one that we think has got the perfect taste, and it brings out the real nice flavour notes. So we go back to that profile, and we use that profile each time and repeat it. And
that's is that how you come up with your coffee of the month?
Yes. So the coffee of the month is just a different
bean. Right, yeah. Okay.
So each month it's at the moment we've got four different Brazilian coffees on. We've got two different coffees from Rwanda. We've got coffee from Bolivia, a coffee from Honduras, a coffee from Ethiopia, and a coffee from Kenya. And I think that's all of them. And a Ugandan as well. So each month we will put one of those on. Oh, and a Peruvian coffee as well, which I forgot about. And each month we'll put one of those on. And so that over a rolling 12-month period, you'll never have the same coffee
each month.
That's so beautiful. If you sign up for our coffee of the month and you're with us for 2 years, eventually you will
come back around.
You'll come back to one that you.
I suppose that's a good thing though, because if you find one that you really like, you can then go, I want more of that one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So of course, we would come on depending on the volume. If we got a one-off, it's a big roaster.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to put 500 grams of coffee in this.
Yeah.
Just so within reason, it's that, which is why we do it over a month.
Yes.
So that way we get a good 4 weeks of putting a good quality. yeah. product in as opposed to doing really small batches.
Yeah.
Small batch roasting it is okay, but really, in reality, we need to be putting at least sort of, with a machine this size, we need to be putting at least sort of 4 to 5 kilos through, because yeah. otherwise it would just roast too quickly.
Right, okay, you wouldn't get
and the profile would just go out, right. start losing its credibility.
That's interesting.
So we need to put pretty good volumes through.
It sounds like an awesome day job, just coming in and just yeah. tweaking.
Yeah, it's great. You know, this environment, being out here.
Chilled. I mean, the guys, whoever listens to this, probably hear the cows in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which I quite it's, like. I quite it, like
it's
that.
It's lovely.
Though.
It's very natural. My previous job, which I did for up until last year for 34 years, I worked on the railway.
Okay.
So I was an apprentice.
Yeah.
Then I went into production management and then other roles. And then eventually last year, I sort of, me and my wife had a conversation and I just said, look, I think I'm tired of doing that now.
Good to do this full time.
So, I moved, took the decision, took the sort of punt to do this full time. And yeah. that was almost a year ago. So
okay.
July the 15th was my last day working in the railway last year for Unipart Rail. I would sort of finished there on Friday the 15th. And what is it today? The 9th. So it's not,
right.
it's been a year that I've been almost doing it full time.
That's amazing. Yeah. Was it, obviously it's a big decision. It's a bit of a silly thing for me to say that, but it's something that I quite like to talk about actually, just as a bit of an offshoot, because for me, I've had to do that twice. I had to do it when I left the Navy, and I had to do it after the pandemic, coming back into coaching, like full-time coaching. And it's a big decision, even though like the first time when I left the Navy, I had lots saved up, I had enough to sort of, you know, we were living in Jib. It was quite, and
I can imagine.
It was not an easy decision.
No.
It was a very hard decision, but it wasn't as bad as doing it this time where got the mortgage, got this to look after, got a child to think of. And you're thinking about doing these life-changing, like, because changing a career, especially going off to do something which is your own business, you've got nothing. You got to think, I've got nobody else to blame apart from myself if it doesn't work. The buck stops with me and the amount of effort and the amount of work that I put in.
Yeah.
And that's a big decision, isn't it, to make?
It's a huge decision. And I think what comes with making that decision, though, is there's lots of, I won't say negatives, but there's lots of concerns.
Yeah.
There's lots of doubts and that kind of stuff. And you're thinking, really? Is this really what we're going to do? Are we really ready for this? But then very quickly you start thinking about the positives. You're in control of your own destiny. You're whatever, every hour you put in, every minute that you put in, you're reaping the benefits from that. And you're not, you know, I work on the railway, you do 40 odd and then at times 50 hour weeks to get paid a set amount of money. And then somebody else is making, you know, I don't want to sound too crass, but somebody's making a lot of money on the back of all the hard work and efforts that you put
in. Yeah.
When you switch your mentality into doing it for yourself, you're suddenly a lot more forgiving about that. But the big thing as well is work-life balance as well, because, you know, when we first got this going, myself and AD, and my wife was working full-time, I was working full-time, you would get home from work, I'd have my tea, we'd have a chat, see how the day's gone, and then I'd be coming back out because I had to start trying to get the business ready and working again. So it was getting to that point where there was a bit of a point where I thought, we can't keep on doing this. My wife was a head teacher, so, you know, we were both holding down lots and lots of hours of work. And I'm coming up on a sort of a birthday, I was turning 50, and I thought, that's the point when I thought, you know what, I'm going, this is the point when I think, a bit of a head, am I going to do it or I'm never going to do it? So we took the leap of faith to do that. And it was absolutely the best thing that we've ever done.
Yeah.
You know, as a family decision, it's, you know, and if I do events now, my wife will come along and help out. You know, and that kind of stuff. My daughter gets involved if it's a really big event. So Mantrix Food Festival's coming up in September.
Yes.
End of August. Huge, huge event. So on the run-up to that, we'll all be getting involved. AD will be, and his wife will. You know, we'll all sort of come together to get ready for that, because it's such a big event. It's the biggest event that we do. It's 3 days. It's hard work. Great fun. Really entertaining. But at the same time, you're putting the shift in for a few days.
Yeah.
don't have a problem with that. You know, always been willing to do hard work, but it's mentally quite taxing as well. You know,
you're trying to get everything ready. That's your, those 3 days, it's, that's probably the biggest event of the year, isn't it?
Yeah,
for around, massively. For, massively, around here for you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So it, the amount that you're going to reap off the back of that, though,
yeah,
is quite a lot. And it's these things that you have to, like, you don't mind doing it as much because it's your business.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
You know, if you're working for somebody else, you're like, oh, God, I've got to do these 3 days. It's going to be hard work. It's gonna be hard work. Yeah, but yeah. You know what you're going to get off the back of that.
Absolutely.
You're not just going to get paid. You know that your business is going to grow. You know that people that don't know about Crave are going to know about Crave after the weekend.
Exactly. And it's amazing just how many people, even though we've been around for a while, and I lived in Nantwich for 40 years plus, I know, you know, I do community football in Nantwich, I coach at Nantwich, I'm always at Nantwich as a season ticket holder as well. But it's amazing when you still bump into people and they go, I didn't know that was your business. I never heard about them, and that's your business. Yeah, yeah. When you do an event like the Food Festival, people actually see you.
Again, it's that community thing. People realize seeing the people behind the brand.
Yeah, exactly. They see us. They see me and Aidy working in. And we're not some corporate brand.
Yeah.
It's us.
You.
We'll be at that event, and Aidy will be at that event. And then on the Monday, we'll be roasting. And on the following week, we'll be out in the car and out in the van and on our bikes and doing whatever. Delivering it again. And it's the same people that you saw actually at the event. Yeah. So it is always about us.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's about. That's what we like about
it. That's the fun part of it, being in total control. I mean, you said about when you made that decision to leave your job of 30 odd years and come and do this full time. And it was that, well, actually, I'm my own boss.
Yeah.
I can do pretty much it. But it all does fall on me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, nobody can, I don't think I would ever go back to being employed by, unless I was forced to.
Yeah,
I don't
think
I'd go back to being employed by anybody.
No.
Because I know that I work better.
Yeah.
Knowing that, listen, you've got to do this.
Yeah.
You've got to do this to pay the mortgage. You've got to do this. If you want that car on the drive, you've got to do this.
Yeah.
If you want to go on holidays,
whatever
else. You've got
else.
To do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for me, that's a big part of running your own business.
Yeah, it is. And it's the ideas as well. No, you'll be lying in bed and you think, oh, yeah, well, I should have thought, could do that actually? And then you'll make that mental note, and then you'll go the next day and you'll act upon it.
I'm renowned for having 40-minute showers.
Yeah.
My wife will be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm knocking on the door and I'm like, I'm having a thinking shower.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, I've got an idea.
Yeah, I like
just
that.
Letting it marinate.
Yeah. And
just letting letting it brew if you want.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I always fare best when I'm in the shower, get out of the shower, and then just dictate it. I'm dyslexic, so I find it really difficult to write stuff down quickly.
Yeah,
so I'll just dictate whatever idea I've got. Yeah. Sometimes it comes off. Sometimes it's absolutely not a great idea, and it sort of gets shelved. But sometimes you come up with some really good, really good ideas.
Yeah,
you've got the freedom, the openness to do that. Whereas a lot of time, if you're employed, especially, you know, depending on where you're employed, and if you've gone through the sort of, almost from the starting point as an apprentice and worked your way up, you're almost kind of like, this is your box.
Yeah.
You stay in this box. Don't deviate, even though you've got the ideas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I know that it was from being in the military as well. You know,
I'm sure, I'm probably more so than most on the back of that, because you will have been regimented, literally, and and you've got to be that way. But sometimes, you know, you just want to...
Oh yeah, you know,
people talk about blue sky
idea.
Thinking.
Yeah,
but actually, they don't blue sky thinking. As long as you're in agreement with what your boss wants you to do.
Yeah,
I've been in so many meetings. And forgive me, and my ex and colleagues, whatever else. But was in many a meeting when I knew the final decision had already been made before we'd even gone in the room. Or basically, just wanted to sit around a table and make sure everybody agreed with it. Even though you're sitting there thinking, do you know what? I think I'd rather.
Just a paper exercise.
I'd suggest we do this.
Yeah.
You know, and oh, we'll have the brainstorming exercises and we'll do this, and out come the post-it notes and everything's written down. And it's always, you know, very often it would feel like, but this is already premeditated. You've already decided what you want to happen. You just want to go through the motions so that you feel like everybody's engaged, employee engagement. I find I'm more engaged now than I've ever been, because I come up with an idea and me and Ada will sit down and chat about it. And we're two different types of characters and two different types of people. But in the main, we both come to a decision that's actually, the right decision. Because we are a bit yin and yang. You know,
I think that's great though, right?
But it's perfect, yeah.
This is where I think sometimes I have a bit of a, I am totally on my own.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife is great, yeah. And sometimes I can bounce some ideas off her, but she's not, she's got her own career.
Yeah.
She's not in my business. I'm the only person in my business. Having a business partner that you trust and you've been friends with for a long time and you can bounce, and even having that bit of yin yang, like you can be like, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
And you'll be like, nah.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you know, vice versa. You know, I don't know. I just think that that yin and yang thing, it does kind of work, doesn't
absolutely.
It? It's like two halves make a whole.
Yeah, almost, they do. You know? And it's interesting when you were saying about you bounce stuff off your wife. Me and my wife will often, you know, when we're sat at the dinner table, or whatever, and we're talking about stuff, and or when we take the dogs for a walk or whichever, and our Rach will be a brilliant sounding board for me because you know, and then she'll offer like really good reasons. Or what about this and what about that? And I think, oh yeah, I've thought about that.
Yeah.
Because her background is so different from what we are, from what I'm doing now, is actually you almost need that balance of somebody going, you know do. What?
You almost need it from a
community point of view. This
community
is
or a consumer.
Yeah, exactly.
I use my wife Sarah as an eye bullshit net. She catches all the bullshit and reflects it back.
And doesn't let it through. Yeah.
So if I was left on my own to my own devices, I'd probably just put out all sorts of nonsense on social media. I'd be spouting all sorts of stuff that I'm going to do, all the ideas. I'd be telling everybody I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And then you look like a bit of an idiot when you don't
actually do it.
You have to sort of, and that's something that I've learned over time as well. Like, okay, just keep it calm. And
that's a really, really
over time.
Good point, because I know I've seen opportunities have been on the horizon and thought, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
And you start telling, I'll talk to my mates about this is an opportunity that's going to come. And it doesn't come off. And you think, I've got to learn not just because it's there doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to work at it.
You've got to try
and find a way to pluck it out and go with it as opposed to it's not just going to come at you. And that's something that's really quite hard as a small business is like, how do I make these things happen? Because they're not just going to fall at my feet.
That's something we just before we started rolling on this, we had a small. You asked me about how the PT company was going, and I was saying, like, you know, realistically, it's only really been launched for the last couple of weeks. I'm still building it, but there was a little bit of deflation after the website launched and the software launched and the marketing started going out. That people aren't jumping up in the air.
Where is
everybody? Nick, I can't believe you're offering this amazing service.
Yeah.
Nobody really did anything. And I'm like, well, okay. And that was a little bit deflating. But then thinking back and looking at it from like an outside of the business in, it takes time.
Yeah.
You've got to build it. It's
patience.
Like, you know, the foundations are there.
Yeah.
You've just got to build. Just keep on putting the bricks
absolutely.
On top. And
absolutely.
Sometimes you make a misstep and sometimes something hits. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And you've just got to keep on at it. And I think you see a lot of people, you know, I think the stats are, I think it might be like 60%. 60% of personal trainers don't last the first year.
Wow.
Or the first, I think actually it's the first 2 years.
Yeah.
Don't last the first 2 years.
Gosh.
They end up reining it in to being something that's then just something they do as like a bit of a side hustle, a bit of a part-time thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't do it as a full-time thing. And I think the reason for that is they don't realize how they think it's just going in and training people and that's it and you can work. But, you know, I was up at 4-6 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
You know, like tomorrow morning I'll be up at 4:30 to get to the gym for 6.
Yeah.
Like up the A500, and then I'll still be in at 9:30 on Wednesday night.
Yeah, yeah.
Working. I'll have a little bit of time in the middle to pick my daughter up from school, but other than that, it's hard work.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, it's the fact that people just expect things to happen without putting in the work. And now, because it's so difficult, because you've got social, it's not just a case of being, okay, well, I'm going to put that I'm a personal trainer or that I've got a business or launch a business page on Instagram. You've got to get people to that point.
Yeah.
You've got to get people to want the product or want the service.
Yeah.
And that is something that I think just takes
a
lot of work and a lot of grind.
But in some ways, it needs to be hard work to really appreciate it, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going back, and it's going to sound really corny, and I've said it a few times already on various other podcasts, but it's almost like what Steve Jobs said. It was like the journey's the reward,
yeah,
a little bit, and it does sound really corny, and people are going to, you know, and but it kind of is. Like, yeah. I look back through the last like couple of years and the journey that I've been on, and I'm like, well, yeah, I quite enjoyed that. Yeah. You look back now, and yeah. I look back to working a night shift in a hotel as a night porter, yeah. and then going to the gym and seeing clients and teaching classes during the day.
Yeah.
And I think back to like the podcast that I used to listen to when I was sweeping up the pub and, lying down in the reception area, trying to get a little bit of sleep.
A little 15
minute night. Yeah, exactly.
That.
Yeah. And things like that.
Yeah.
You look back, and at the time it was horrendous because I was only sleeping 3 nights out of every 7.
Yeah. Jeez. Wow.
You know, and I was at my wits, you know, it's not something that I would advise doing. It's not something that I would have been able to keep up.
Yeah.
Coffee helped. But it's just something that I had to do.
Yes.
To get to where I am.
I guess it's just giving you life skills, you know, and all the motivation and all those other really positive things that you need to do to and I look back and think, I'm really thankful for my years working for the railway and for Unipart Rail and these companies, because actually I got lots of skills from them.
Yeah,
I got lots of good people around me that, you know, offered really great advice, and I learned so much that I don't think if I hadn't had that grounding behind them that I probably wouldn't have done this in the first place, because I wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah,
you know, there's a couple of people I look back on, and you know, like Dave Beasley was my old boss for years. Another chap, Dave Pask, another guy called Les Hobson, God bless him, he recently passed away. But they gave me so much information and so much confidence that when, and I remember having a conversation with one of them not too long ago, and he said, look, if you're going to, he left to do his own business. Yeah. And he said, if you get the chance, do it. You know, and I remember that conversation, and I remember once when I did do it, I messaged him and said, yeah, I've done it. I've actually gone. I'm on my own now, and he was like, "Yeah, well done. You know, you'll. It's hard work, but you'll enjoy it." And I have done it, and I do.
Realistically, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Well,
I remember once getting told. I'm not sure if the guy who told me this is going to listen, but if he does, he'll know that he told me. Is when I was working nights, and I'd just gone back into coaching. I'd had my online coaching over the, and I'd had sort of things going on with the fitness industry during the pandemic, doing online stuff and that, but
must
actually in gym coaching and stuff. And I said, I don't know how I need to leave this job, this night shift job. I need to leave the job at the hotel because it's literally killing me. Something's going to have to give.
Yeah.
I'm either going to go full time at the hotel and give up coaching completely, or I'm going to go coaching full time and then not have that.
Yeah.
Don't know how much money is going to be coming in.
And he
just turned around to me. He's like, listen, create a bubble.
Yeah.
Right. What is in your bubble?
Yeah.
I was like, well, the house.
Yeah.
And my car to get to work. He's like, that's it. That's your bubble. Anything else can go. Don't matter.
Yeah.
If you have to go without a holiday, you should go without a holiday.
Yeah.
You need to.
The end game justifies.
If you need to get rid of your car to get a cheaper car.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
If you need to get rid of some of the luxuries that you have.
Yeah.
That's fine. If it's worth it.
Yeah.
To build and to grow.
Absolutely.
Or you can stagnate.
Yeah.
So and for me, that was a big sort
which
of
one
game changer.
Was going to give you the most enjoyment.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and yes, it's a gamble. Yes, it's a risk and this, but actually it's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. It's what gives you that drive, that get up and go. Whereas if you're sat in doing something that you're not really enjoying and it was more the retail side.
You're always going to think, why didn't I listen?
What if? Yeah.
It's always the big one.
Should I have done what you're on?
You're never going to get as well. We're talking basically, like you talked about, like your old bosses and about telling you to, you know, giving you information and giving you a helping hand. It's the same with me. You need mentors.
Yeah.
Don't you? You always need,
absolutely.
It doesn't matter where you are, how old you are in business, when you decide to start up your own business, you need that mentors of people that have done it themselves.
Yeah.
Because nobody that is doing better than you is going to ridicule you for trying.
Yeah.
it's always the people that are below.
That haven't
got the guts to sort of go out and take that risk.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, what are you doing that for? Yeah. You're never going to do that.
No, I totally, absolutely.
Lights a bit of fire up my arse, that does.
Yeah.
When people say stuff like that.
It's you just got to do it, haven't you, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd recommend to, and I have said this to people, guys that I work with, you know, had a few ideas. I said, look, if you're going to do it, do it. I would recommend it to anybody, because actually you will get so much fulfillment out of it and so much personal enjoyment and personal satisfaction that actually that's worth anything.
Yeah.
That's worth anything and everything. Everything is well worth it. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you think, I'm off to work now.
I'm happy. I'm off
to do my job that I've generated.
That I've generated, that you've created yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I don't get that Sunday night feeling.
Yeah.
Because I know that on Monday I get to do something that I love.
Yeah, exactly. So. Watching some period drama on a Sunday night, thinking back to work tomorrow morning.
Back on the grind. Don't see that.
That's absolutely one thing I do not miss is that feeling on a Sunday of like, well, that's the end of the weekend and the week starts again. It's all, you know, and it's a cliche. That, you know, when you work for yourself and you start doing things differently, that actually you don't really notice the weekends as much.
I work 7 days a week, so yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. Well, I don't mind doing a class on a Sunday morning or a class on a Saturday morning, because I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think people like myself and you, that our business is probably... That's a good thing for our business that we love to do. Like, like, you know, that the coffee is almost sort of done with pride.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's maybe, it's not just, you're not just somebody on a line going, coffee. You're doing it because
you're not this invisible person. It's you, it's yours. You've done it. You own it. You own everything. Yeah. You're everything about it. And when you get a really positive feedback about it, it's amazing.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, when somebody says, oh, that's one of the nicest coffees I've ever had. We've had a guy recently, he's been posting stuff about it, and he said, I don't really like Peru coffee normally. He says, but the one I've had of yours was amazing. I really enjoy it. And it's like...
That means a lot,
right? That warm feeling you get from that is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have got that anywhere else doing anything.
No.
Anything I've ever done, I've never had that sort of moment of absolute pride and joy that... I just did that through this.
Yeah.
You know, this piece of equipment and my knowledge and AD's knowledge and our knowledge together is generating something that someone is really getting really good joy and satisfaction out of it. And you can't get that.
You can't really beat that.
And you'll be the same when you get one of your customers has that eureka moment, whatever.
I love getting a message off people. If they've had, if they've done a race or they're in the gym or they're...
One of the things that they've always wanted to do that they've struggled with.
Like, they send it and they're like, they're proud, they're happy to tell me, they're excited to tell me.
That's
cool.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It all makes it kind of worthwhile.
I totally can see why you would think like that. You know, that personal tag that somebody's finally got over, that barrier that they've done, whether it's, you know, doing a kilometer run for the first time in 10 years or whatever it is, you've been part of getting them to there, and you can't that doesn't come anywhere else really, does it? Apart from your own self-drive, doesn't it?
So tell people where they can find Crave Coffee.
So in terms of Crave Coffee, where we are, predominantly we're a website based business, as we sort of mentioned earlier, and the web address is www.cravecoffee.co.uk. Go on the website, look out, there's a section there called Our Coffees, and on there is just all the different coffees that we've got on options. There's two ways you can order it. You can do a pay-as-you-go, which is quite, as it sounds like, order it, you'll get it, or you can sign up for the subscription. The subscription element, basically, there's a little coffee calculator in there. You select how many coffees you drink a day or whichever, and then it will then say, Ron, based on that, you need to have X amount of bags of coffee a month
or a bag of coffee
a week or a bag of fortnight or whichever. Once you've got that, you pick your coffee and away you go. And then, like I say, we will deliver it outside of the postcode or a little bit further afield. It'll go through Royal Mail, but anywhere within sort of CW5 postcode will be delivered by either myself or AD, whichever format that'll be. So walk, drive, bike, whichever. So that's in terms of sort of sort of direct to customers. We also do packages for retail coffee shops and the likes, and where pretty much whatever you order, we will roast it literally the week before. So we invariably roast sort of Monday, Tuesday, so that we can deliver sort of Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So there's a little bit of a gap while it's rested. But other than that, it's roasted bang on to order. So we literally put the roaster on when we know what we've got, what's going out sort of following sort of 5 to 7 days.
Spoke to them.
And that's literally, and then, and really just contact us. On the website, I'm on there, or you can email me directly, jeremy.nichols@cravecoffee.co.uk, or there's ad.blore@cravecoffee.co.uk. And if you drop us a line, we'll invite you in to have a look around and watch us do some roasting.
That's
or
awesome.
Possibly even do yeah. some blending. Or
I was blown away when I sort of, first time I saw this when I came, yeah. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Yeah.
When there's no better feeling than when that batch comes off. The first batch is done in the day. So we have to fire the machine up quite early before we can get it roasted. It needs to get it. We're running at quite high temperatures, 220 degrees, that kind of stuff. So you can't just roast cold. So this has to be on for around about 45 minutes before we do the first roast. And then once that's been on and roasting, the first batch that comes off is just insane. Amazing. You get that real nice plume. And we have the guys coming in the next door going, are you roasting? Yeah, we can tell. We've had the neighbours come from down the road going, love the smell drafting across.
Yeah.
We sat in the garden, we knew you were roasting because we could smell it coming across. So, yeah, and it's just great, yeah.
Awesome.
Drop us a line.
You're going to be at Nantwich Food Festival.
We'll be at the Food Festival, which is the bank holiday weekend in August, essentially, the weekend after. So it's the last 3 days of August going into September. There are a couple of places that sell retail bags as well. So there's Betley Farm Shop, which is in Betley.
Yep.
There's Edgerton, which is the Edgerton pub over there. They've got a little farm shop there that you can buy retail bags. And a new place that's opening up, actually on this Saturday, well worth going. It's Berries at Renbury.
Oh, okay.
So it's a new coffee shop. Their opening day, they're having a big fun day and all this kind of stuff. So we're going to go along and wish them all the best with that. And they'll be selling our coffee, but also they'll be having bags as well. So lots of places, lots of small businesses, we're all supporting each other. So if you're
building that community up.
Just share the wealth, share the knowledge, and hopefully everybody can all work well together.
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Absolutely
helping each other out.
Yeah,
awesome, mate.
Perfect.
Cheers.